Welcome to Lent. If you didn't know it was Lent, you do now. Welcome to the wilderness, a wilderness full of possibilities. What are we to make of Lent this year? One person wrote from her heart, and I believe sound theological thinking, in a way that has spoken to many in a very positive way, although some have been angered. Barb Morris, a life coach, specifically she is a life coach for midlife women, as she phrases it, midlife women in transition, which is probably every midlife woman, maybe. That's probably what she's trying to get at there. She writes a blog, and she wrote a blog post for this Ash Wednesday entitled, A Letter from God to Her Daughters Who Observe Lent. She posted it a couple of days before Ash Wednesday, and by the day after Ash Wednesday, just this past week, the piece had received over 30,000 views. She might need to take her phone number off her website soon, because it's there. I was so surprised to see it when I was checking out the website. So Barb's letter from God is a big help to those who've been wounded or confused by words such as sin, holy, penitence, and repentance. She encourages us to think about these words differently. And as we prepare, you and I prepare to enter into the wilderness of Lent with Jesus, I think her thoughts are helpful for people of all genders. She writes, What if you only sin when you refuse healing and cling to brokenness? I'm going to say that again. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? What if you only sin when you refuse healing and cling to brokenness? And she goes on, when you use those sharp edges to hurt yourself or others? What if holiness is when you choose to be whole, even though you're terrified? What if penitence is when you see yourself clearly and know and speak and live from your heart? What if repentance is re-membering your true self in all her, and I will add his and their, in all her messy glory? And she concludes, or she doesn't conclude, but I'll conclude with her statements here. What if this Lent, instead of focusing on the ways you're not good enough and the ways you fall short, you commit to your own healing? With that in mind, let's turn to our gospel reading. Jesus, we are told, was full of the Holy Spirit when he was being led by the Spirit into the wilderness. When we enter a wilderness time, do we think that God has led us there? Probably not. After all, we pray, save us from the time of trial, or the other translation, lead us not into temptation. I hear that into temptation quite differently when considered in the context of Jesus being led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Perhaps a prayer to go with this gospel reading might be, when you lead us into temptation, be with us, protect us, and help us to grow. Wilderness time can be a gift. Not an obvious gift or an easy gift, but we can grow. We usually do. We grow as Jesus did. He grew in knowing who he was and his mission, and he got really grounded in it and who God was and is for him and for us. This can happen. Jesus is led by the Spirit into 40 days of being tempted by the devil, we hear. It was a rough time, difficult, no food, he suffered. We're told he was famished, and it's right at that time. And isn't this like our lives, like right when you're at your lowest point, right? That's when something happens. Well, it was at his lowest point, perhaps, that the devil says, and I'm paraphrasing, hey, Jesus, you're the Son of God, right? So why not just command these stones to turn to bread, loaves of bread? Just command it. Make it so. You know you want to. What's happening here? The devil, or the demonic powers in the world, are doing what they always do, holding up control as the answer, and holding up a thing, a material thing, as the answer. But Jesus refuses the challenge to show his ability to control, and rather trusts in God. Jesus makes the point to the devil that there's more to life, more to the life of faith, than any one thing. And then what comes next? In Luke, Jesus is next promised all the kingdoms of the world, but only if he will worship the devil. This is the stuff of movies, right? Or stories, selling one's soul to the devil. This is where it comes from, the original. But it never works out, does it? In our account today, Jesus knew it would not work out. And so he quotes some scripture, "Worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Those words are found in a few places in Hebrew scripture and implied throughout. In the Shema in Deuteronomy 6:4, we hear, "Hear, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And it goes on in verse 5, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." Jesus, as a righteous, faithful Jewish man, would have been saying that every day. It was written on his heart. So how could he possibly turn to the devil for any reason? The temptation was one of those that happen all the time. The ends justify the means, the devil's trying to say to him. You could do so much good, right? If Jesus could have controlled everything then, all the wars would have ceased. Everyone would have had what they need. But no, Jesus isn't going to get it that way. He's betting on us. All the temptations that Jesus faces, they remind us of the dynamics of our own temptations. And we are rarely tempted by things that are all bad, right? I mean, you have to have a really, really dark, dark heart, and I don't think anyone here does, to be tempted by things that are really, really obviously terrible. Most of the things that tempt us have an aspect of good to them. Not to be outdone, the devil quotes scripture next to show that he can and to tempt Jesus to throw himself off the temple in Jerusalem. And adding in that element found in many temptations, if you are who you say you are, prove it. If you are the Son of God, prove it. If you are the coolest kid in class, prove it. If you are all that, prove it. It comes up again and again for us in life, throughout our lives in different ways at different times. If you are who you say you are, Jesus, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he, God, will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. Context is everything. This is some pretty good scripture. We heard it a little bit ago. It fills us with hope and assures us of God's love. One scholar notes that Jesus rejects this assurance, because Jesus knows that his journey will not be devoid of opposition and suffering, as the devil suggests it might be. And so it is with us. Our journeys are not easy, but meaningful. Great growth comes from challenging events and times. Now remember, and I really, really, really dislike that phrase people use sometimes, God will never give you more than you can handle. I hate that. I just tell you right out. Because most of the things that are going on, God has nothing to do with at all. Those bad things. God doesn't want anything bad to happen to us so that we can get somewhere through it. But these things are going to come and they happen. And that's where God's Spirit gets in there and is with us, holding us and helping us to grow from it, or at least holding us together in those difficult times. New life can come from death, from all that seemed to be about death. And when we find ourselves in the wilderness, it does help to remember the Spirit is at work. We've not been abandoned. This is not God's will. The Spirit's there, and this wilderness holds many possibilities. So, here we are. We move with Jesus into the 40 days of Lent. I recommend going to your wilderness, that place for you in your mind, and talking with Jesus or Spirit or God as you imagine God. Talk to God about your life, which has included struggle, because everyone's does, and temptations, because everyone's does. And as we talk with God, I think we'll find there in the wilderness God who embraces us and helps us and loves us and is all about forgiveness and healing. Amen.